अवतार में बाबा की जय जय बाबा.
Zooming still on 20th July, Marizad, Marwan Jasawala, and the last tape, which continues on to this one, on the same day, we have been talking about your sister's, Nehru's, death in 1952 of jaundice, or cancer, what they have found, which turned out to be pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
So this is while Baba was
in Dehradun.
Actually,
yeah.
1953.
Yeah, 53. She died, and very soon after that, Baba returned from Dehradun. So Papa's wound was a bit fresh.
Right.
So that's why he was a bit not in the mood and very dejected. So he just let out a little steam, you know.
At Baba.
Yeah. And then Baba consoled him, consoled the family. And then thereafter Baba, of course, left. And the stay at Satara commenced. I think either he went directly to Satara or probably after visiting Mehrazad for a few days. Yeah. So
they rented some sort of bungalow.
Yeah, at bungalow, the women were kept in Grafton bungalow, and the men mainly were in Rosewood Cottage. It was about, I think, a mile or so apart, or less, probably less. And Baba would commute to and fro. And during that time, Baba again was in very strict seclusion. So another cottage was hired in between these two cottages, which was known as Jal Villa. And Baba with Kekobad Dastur and one or two others like Dr. Nilu in attendance would be working and staying in Jal Villa. And the women would be in Grafton, the men at Rosewood. Yes. So, Baba was in Satara, and it was at that time that my cousin Sam, I remember, before going to the West, or in the year, I don't remember which year, Baba had asked Sam to decide on some career. No, I think it was before the New Life, probably. And Baba then selected for him a course in wireless telegraphy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he passed out of that course. It was a very difficult subject. And very few people would pass out, but he passed at the first attempt. It would require 3 or 4 attempts usually. And then he immediately got a job on a foreign steamship company in Aden. So, Middle East. Aden was the headquarters of Halal Shipping Company, it was. So he had gone there. While Baba was in the New Life, he was on the boat and all that. And then after two or three years service, he returned with a lot of money in his pockets. So when he came back, he said, let's have a car for the family. So we went and bought a car. Not knowing anything about cars, somebody just thrust a third-rate car onto us. We got fooled into buying this car. So poor Sam was always in the repair shop trying to get the car ready. And his intention was that after the car was in good shape and ship shape, to go and offer it to Baba to be used for some time, and then the family could keep it. So it took months to get ready. The car was in a very bad shape, but somehow we got it repaired, and then Baba sent word to us that we should bring the car over to Satara. So I think it was 1954 or something. So Dadi, myself, and Sam went in the car and drove the car up to Satara and gave it to Baba. He was happy. And then Baba did many mass trips in this car. Yeah. So it was an old Vauxhall, wartime model. But despite it had only one defect, the defect of starting.
It was hard to start.
But once it got started, then it could beat any other car on the road. It had a very good engine.
So it turned out to be a useful car after all the
conditions. Yeah. So Baba traveled far and wide in this car. And it would break down quite often. But I heard Pendu also remark that your car is really remarkable. It senses a garage nearby and breaks down. So wherever it would break down, there would always be a garage nearby. And they wouldn't get stranded. So that was the characteristic of this car that we had. So Baba used it quite a lot.
And so Baba was still doing mass tours at this time then?
Yeah. So that was just going on, off and on. Yeah. Right up to the time of the second accident, Baba would have these lightning tours all over India in the car.
I see.
Yeah. So one of those tours, Baba took Eraj along in the car to several hundred miles north of India, I think Indore or somewhere. And then Baba said, I have to go back to Satara within some 24 hours or something. Would you be able to do it? And he said, I will try, Baba. And then Eraj drove non-stop the whole of 24 hours, I think. And by that time he was feeling as if he had lost all control over the car, and as if there was a tunnel through which the car was just going ahead and somebody else was controlling the car or something. Yeah, and he would keep passing out, you know, and dozing, and so much fatigue was in Eraj's body that he felt very nervous after that, and he told Baba that, Baba, hereafter I will never drive again. So then Baba asked him, but what's wrong? He said, no, Baba, I think it will be a very serious thing if I continue to drive, because at one time I had the urge to just drive the car into some ditch and end the whole thing, as it were. Something was happening within him and he couldn't describe it. And Baba says, don't be silly, nothing is going to happen. And of course something was going to happen. And Baba was preparing him for it. So yeah, so this was the time when all these hectic car journeys were taking place. And I remember in 1954, one day Baba expressed the wish that he wanted to play a cricket match. So he says that he has some very important work to do by playing this match, and that it was to be a very serious affair. And he dictate the names of people who would participate in the game, and they were staying in Bombay, Pune, and various other places. So letters were sent out that you have to be at Satara on such and such a day. If I remember right, it was I think the 12th of June or something, 1954. Baba fixed that day. I'm not sure of the exact date, but it was round about the 12th of June. Well, yeah, so either 12th or 14th or something. And letters were sent out. And Baba, they had selected a site, so Baba went to inspect the site. And Baba said, no, this site is not good. Search for some other place. So the Mandali were on the lookout, and about 13 miles off Satara, on the way to Pune, on the highway of Pune, there was a place called Uttara. It was a small little village, I think, or a small town with a government dak bungalow, a rest house, and it had a huge sort of mango grove. So there were mango trees all over, but quite big open spaces in between the trees. And so they thought this would be a nice place, and they took Baba to it, and Baba at once approved of it. So then people were sent to level the ground, and for days and days preparations were made.
So there wasn't a field ready made for them, a plain...
No. It was just a mango grove, you know. Oh. Yeah. Sort of a garden sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the compound of the dak bungalow. Mm-hmm. But you could see the highway, Pune-Satara highway from the dak bungalow. So I remember that. So then Baba approved of the site, and people were sent to level it. Baba went to inspect it two or three times. That shows how serious Baba was about the whole thing. To us it appeared as if it was just a game, but Baba was quite serious about it. So then we were called one day in advance, and several places were hired to keep all these people, you know, because there were about 24 or so people called to form two teams. Each side is about 11 and odd players, so we were quite a big crowd, you know. And myself, Meerji, Baba's brother Jal, then Dadi, all went in Meerji's car. He had bought a new Chevrolet by then. So we went in Meerji's car, and the rest came by bus. There were many participants. Ramju was there, Nariman, then Baba's brother Behram, Nehru's brother Jangu, of course the Mandali were there, Pendu, Eraj, and all others. As I remember, that Baba still had the trouble about piles.
Oh, really?
Yes. So Baba would tell us that every time he had to pass a motion, it was a job for him. How he would be able to pass it, because it would be extremely painful for him. And he was not in good physical condition. He was, of course, in seclusion part of the time. And this was an exception made, I think.
So he kind of stepped out of seclusion?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but it was a stage of intense internal activity that Baba was engaged most of the time in Satara. So then we all were there for the game. The next day early morning, Baba was driven, and Meiji had given his new car, and Baba drove the car to the site, and we all followed. Sarosh also had come. So then Baba, we gathered around Baba, and Baba said that you all have to play this game, and everybody must play it with great sincerity and with full effort to try to win the game. So each side must put in their best effort, and Baba would be on both sides. Yeah. So, and Nariman was captain of one side, and Sarosh was the captain of the other side. So then the coin was tossed. Who would be doing the batting first? A regular, like a big cricket match, you know. And then we won the toss. I was on Sarosh's side, Sarosh's camp. And so we decided to bat first. So we started batting. And Baba had done the division of the players. He selected, you go there, you be on this side, you be this side.
He done it when you got there? Or
yeah.
Was it
no, no, time? After getting there, he did that. So
who else was on first side of the people on your side?
Jangu, Nehru's brother, was on my side, then who else was there? Sarosh, of course, was our captain, and I don't remember many people, but I remember Jalbhai, Baba's brother, was on the opposite side. I think Meiji was on our side. Yeah. So it was quite a big thing. I don't remember who were on which side. So we started to bat, and we started piling runs. We were, most of us were youngsters on this side. So we piled a big score, and then of course all of us got out, and then the next it was the turn of the other side to start the batting, and we started to play, and their players began getting out very very fast and very cheaply. So it came to a stage as if there to be a complete washout. At that time, Baba intervened, you know, and he began to bat on their side. And when he started, he just laid on our bowling and just devastated our bowling. So there was no way of getting him out. None of us could succeed in doing that.
Even though you'd have to really try to get him.
Yeah, yeah, we all had to do it. It was his order, you know. So we tried to our level best, but he was too good, no question. And while we were batting, he was keeping wickets, I think. Because, yeah, so keeping wickets is, there are three stumps on the ground, and the batsman has to stand in front, and this wicket keeper, as he is called, stands just behind those stumps, and he collects the ball if the ball misses the bat. His duty is not to let the ball go by. And if the batsman goes too far beyond a certain line, the wicket keeper can collect the ball and break the stumps, and the batsman gets out. Uh-huh. He's stumped. Yeah. So Baba was very quick in that, you know. So
we would play the wicket man for your team or when you're
No, against us.
I see.
And then also he helped us. I'm not so sure, but I remember that he definitely helped them while to cover up the deficit. Mm-hmm. And just when it balanced and both the sides had the same number of runs, he said, that's it. And we stopped the game. So it was a tie. Yeah. And
how long did this go on?
For about 5 hours or so.
Good.
Yeah, about from early 7 in the morning. And there was a break in between, of course, for a little tea and refreshments. Mm. And I remember Baba sitting there, and he had the pain in the anus, and so he asked Sidhuji to come in front, and he put his feet on Sidhuji's shoulders so that it wouldn't hurt him much. Yeah, but he was in pain. Yeah.
And despite that, and
yeah,
despite
that.
Accident,
yes. He was running between the wickets.
Oh.
Yeah, while he was batting, you know.
Yeah.
Very fast and very fleet footed.
Really?
Yeah. So that's how it was. And so the game was played, and then at about 1 o'clock it was all over. Then we all assembled into the dark bungalow. There was a big hall there, I remember. Baba was seated there. And then Baba had asked Nariman and Meji and all to bring eatables from Bombay, like jam puffs and sandwiches and all sorts of things. So Baba himself gave to each quite substantial amounts. But everybody was so tired because so many had never played the game for years, and this was their first outing, and so their creaky joints had all become inflamed. You know. The worst was to follow the next day, when in the morning people could hardly get up from the bed. They had such stiff joints and stiff muscles. Everybody was groaning loudly. Yeah, everybody had exerted quite a bit.
So Baba seemed pleased by the outcome.
Yes, he was extremely happy. His work was done to his satisfaction, Baba said. And we'll know how it was, that why Baba did this later on, when Baba met with the second accident. So the second accident that occurred was directly opposite the spot where we were playing. The stretch of highway that we could see from the ground was the place where the car skidded over the culvert. We could see the place from there, and from the accident site we could see where we played 2 years ago. So 2 years, 2.5 years ago, Baba selected the spot. So that's how he meticulously plans everything. And this was meticulously planned when Baba was Muhammad,
yes.
According to what he told us later.
Where in each advent
works
out the next advent.
Yeah. So he was playing out all this very well planned strategies.
It must have been fun to have a big game like that with Baba. I mean,
of course
they had to be
oh, yeah.
Play hard, but
no, we were shouting and protesting. There was umpires, somebody gave me out, and I protested, and Baba said, all right, he's not out.
Oh,
I refused
see.
To go out. So no holds barred, everything.
I see.
Yeah. The more the shouting, the more Baba would enjoy it.
Oh, it must have been fun.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you do in the game?
I was doing well, but I suddenly got a nasty ball and got caught by somebody, I think.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Otherwise, we were going quite strong. So, that was the cricket game, the game of our lifetime. Yeah.
And cricket was always Baba's favorite sport.
Yeah, very favorite.
Yeah.
If he saw a game being played on the roadside, he would hold the car, even if it were just some kids playing, you know.
Yeah.
He would watch for some time. And as he said, he himself was a very good cricket player, especially behind the stumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he gave us a demonstration that day, how quick he could be. Yeah.
And at this point, Baba was, what, 50, no, 60 years old.
And mind you, after the first accident.
After the first accident, yeah. And after this unbelievable flurry of activities.
Yes. And very active, I tell you. Very active in the game. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah, that was one incident I remember in 1954. The other, I think, was it in 1954 or 55, when, you know, when was the Wadia Park darshan program?
That's when the Westerners came.
Yeah, which year was it?
1954, I think September.
Ah.
September of 54.
I see. So that was after this match. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing I forgot to mention is that the next day we were sent off back to our places.
Yeah.
So while we were passing by that place, suddenly the monsoon burst.
By that particular spot where the accident would be?
Just nearby.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is, had that the date been one day late, we would not have been able to play. Because the monsoon started the next day.
Oh, that's right, June 12th, or right at
12th or 13th, I don't remember.
Right but at the beginning.
Yeah, 12th or 14th of nothing. Yeah. The next day, the monsoons broke.
Oh.
I remember that. So while returning to Pune, it was raining cats and dogs.
Wow.
So Baba's timing was perfect.
Yeah. It must have been a hot, muggy day then. You had this cricket match.
No, it was nice and cloudy.
Oh.
We had these pre-monsoon breezes blowing. It was very pleasant. Yeah, very nice. Yeah. It wasn't hot. Of course, it was warm.
Right.
It was warm, but not unbearably so.
Mm.
Yeah. Towards the end, it was rather hot for all of us. We had all become quite hot with the exertion. And so we could barely eat what Baba had served on our plates. We had to tie it up and take it and eat later.
By the way, who were the umpires, the referees in the game? Were they Michael Lee or
I remember Jalbhai was, Baba's brother was one of the umpires, and he gave me out. So I said, Baba, I'm not out, and he didn't see it properly. And
Baba
so Baba overruled him. Which I shouldn't have done, actually. It's in cricket, once the umpire says you're out, you have to just leave the place and go off.
But you had the umpire overruled.
Yeah. So which was a bad thing, because nowadays in the games, they dispute the umpire's decision quite a bit. And there are rowdy scenes that follow, you know.
Oh, but in those days, they were more...
Oh, those civil. Days, yeah. So probably I might be unwittingly
contributing
to this new trend among sportsmen to rebel against authority or something. Yes, so that was the game. Yeah, then later on in the year, as you said, in September 54, there was this Wadia Park Darshan program.
Mm.
And before that, the three incredible weeks when some few Westerners were called for the first time.
Yeah.
And Baba had kept them at Mehrabad. And that was a very nice stay for them.
Mm.
It was really an incredible stay for them.
Mm.
And lots of things happened then, as is recorded, I think, in Listen Humanity.
Yeah.
And even in the glimpses and other books.
There are films from that period.
Yeah.
Also.
So we were also asked to be present for the this darshan program.
At Wadia Park.
At Wadia Park.
Yeah.
So
when these things would come up, you were able to get a day off. Of
So a day or two,
yeah.
I could get casual leave and I would come over. So I remember we all came for for the darshan, and the darshan started early morning. So we were all at Akbar Press, my family. and it's quite close by Wadia Park. So we would walk over to the place, and to begin with, Baba arrived on the platform, and it was very orderly and nice. The women were seated on one side. There was a separation, a corridor sort of thing, and then the men were all seated there. And there was a little space in front, and then there was the platform on which Baba was sitting. And then Baba said, to begin the program, first I will bow down to you all people. I will bow down to me in you all. So then he bowed down to the men's side. Then he went over and bowed down to the women's side. Then he says, I will be one amongst you. So I will come and sit with you. So he went to the women's side, sat there, came over, then came to our side, and he sat there. As he sat there, people started to rush to him, to touch him, you know. And there was a terrible stampede. And that broke all the discipline. Baba was rushed up again to the platform, and then Baba put up his hands.
Jai Baba.
So, you are in focus? Jai Baba. So, yes, so as soon as Baba sat amongst the men on the ground there, there was a rush to touch Baba, and a terrible stampede followed. And that was the first experience I had of being caught in a stampede. And I nearly got trampled down. Such was the pressure from the back. And I lost one of my shoes there.
Where had you been sitting, towards the front?
Towards the front, yeah. And it was a terrible experience, I tell you. So, it was not, the darshan hadn't even started then, and it was, the crowd was not in full strength yet, mind you. And this was the taste we got of the things to come. So, there was a terrible crowd that day. And then Baba went up, and after that he bowed down to seven poor people, washed their feet and all that in the side. And then he came and the prasad giving started. So I would go over to the back side and then climb up the platform and be at the back of Baba, and I got a very close view of how Baba was giving out prasad. So with both hands he was giving, and the rate of people passing him was incredible. People were literally being pulled along, as it were, so that everybody could get a chance. And Baba was really exerting himself tremendously to give out prasad. Yeah. My father, Papa, was also there to assist Baba. Baidul was standing in front to just keep the prasad in place. And there was good police arrangements, so as the stampede wouldn't be there, and the crowd would be orderly. But despite that, the stampede took place in the first place.
Did you see how Baba responded to the whole stampede?
Yeah, he just stood up and put up his hands and said, all be quiet. And very soon order was restored.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which is difficult in such crowded places.
People
yeah.
can be killed. You just said
Exactly. So it was a very difficult thing. But somehow it got under control very fast. And after that, of course, the from morning till evening Baba was giving prasad. There was just a very brief interlude in the afternoon, and Baba had the women who were kept at a little cottage on the side from which they were observing Baba from a distance. And then they were also brought on the stage at one time. At that time I had gone for having a little refreshment or something, so I missed that. Yeah, but Baba was continuously giving prasad. And there was a time when people wouldn't have their little refreshment, so Baba had to stop the darshan and then go there and sit with them and eat a few morsels before they would start eating. Yeah.
They insisted on
it. Yes, Baba honored their wish.
Now these were people from Ahmednagar district?
Yeah, all over in the villages, Ahmednagar proper.
It sounds like there must have been tens of thousands there.
Some estimate it at about between 60 to 70,000. I think it might be more also. The way the crowd was there, it was tremendous. Awesome crowd, I tell you. And Baba working furiously with giving out the prasad.
It must have been exhausting for him to
do. Of course, yeah. Yeah. You do it and see, for 10 minutes you do it.
Right.
And your chest muscles would start giving out and you'd get cramps and pains. Yeah. So it was a tremendous exertion for him. You could see his coat all wet with sweat. Godavari Mai was there for some time, and Gargay Maharaj was there. He was assisting Baba. Yeah.
Was this before or after Baba's visit to Pandharpur?
Before. Thereafter, then Gargay Maharaj again came and invited Baba to go to Pandharpur. But this was before that.
No, I think Baba had also visited. There had been a visit to Sapore, maybe. I think during the Three Incredible Weeks period.
Yeah.
So maybe this was after that, or after the visit.
Either after or before. I'm not sure about that. But it was in that time
that
on
period.
The, yeah. And then September 28, 29, and 30. Was the meeting Baba had called in Mehrabad. So the worst time to have a meeting in Ahmednagar because it was the time of the elephant rains. And somehow Pandu miscalculated or what, and no provision was made, and the tents were all there but without any waterproofing canvas or anything, tin roofing or anything. And on the night before the meeting was to start, the clouds just burst and everything was absolutely flooded. I've never seen rains as heavy as on that day. It was just pouring for hours and hours, non-stop cloudburst, one might say. So another time when rain playing its part in Baba's activity. So I heard later that Baba was here at Mehrazad and he was telling Kekobadji or somebody to pray that the rains may stop. And eventually, by about midnight, I think it stopped. But everything was totally wet and drenched.
And people must have been sleeping where outside?
No, there was no way of sleeping because all our beds were in this tent. This tent was, between the railway lines and the road. That stretch, which was not even rolled. It was I think soon after harvesting or something. So the ground was nice and receptive for any rains that could come. So, when the rains had stopped, I remember my cousin Sam wanted to ease himself and he went there and he got, he sunk up to the knees in the slush, right up to the knees. And he cried for help and then we all had to rush and pull him out. So it was that bad. Everything was flooded.
So nobody could have gotten any sleep?
No question about it. The next day, Baba had sent orders that everybody must have aspirin or some tablet, I think. Whether it was aspirin or quinine or something, so that nobody should fall ill.
Mm.
But everybody was in good health and spirits. Because the next day it was very nice. There was no rain, it was all very cloudy, but very, very pleasant. And it dried up very fast also, remarkably. And
how many were there subjected to this ordeal?
I think about 200 or 300 people were called here. So all got a good taste. And the main pandal was on that same strip, but further up. Near the place, I think, where we go, where we cross the railway lines, somewhere there was the main pandal. Just opposite the dhuni, crossing the road, between the road and the railway line. There was the main pandal where we all sat. And then Baba gave out the declaration,
the final
declaration. That meeting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you heard that then?
Yeah. It was a wonderful meeting. And then Baba took us up the hill, and then at the tomb, we were all asked to go and bow down at the threshold.
Mm.
Not to enter, but just bow down at the threshold.
What did the tomb until that time had been used to Baba for various seclusion works sometimes, but it wasn't a major focus of the
No. Nobody ever went there. There were, I think, about 5 cabins on the side of it, with a big platform there, and Baba was pacing up and down the platform, and we were all there in front of him. There was no awning or anything in front of the tomb. It was just the door of the tomb and then mud floor.
Right.
So we just went there up to the door, put our heads on the threshold, bowed down, and just kept going.
Well, you were among the first, but not the last.
Yeah, that's right. Baba, Baba was quite active then. And I think that time, or it was a little later, that my brother Sam was filming Baba. And he's got good footage of Baba climbing down the hill and all that. Yes.
There are some shots of Baba, it must be at that meeting, walking back and forth like you're describing on that platform.
Yeah.
Walking up the hill and the crowd rushing after him. Maybe that's the film.
He led us up the hill. Then about 3/4 up the hill, he sat down under a small neem tree. And we all sat around him. And you'll see one photo of Baba there. It's about 2/3 up the hill, I think. There was a small neem tree by the side. Baba just sat down there, and we all sat around him, and Baba gave out some messages, and then we climbed right up.
What was the reaction to the final declaration? I mean, that's quite a shocking.
Yeah, so I remember Deshmukh starting to weep loudly in front of Baba. Baba, this is terrible. I can never imagine such a thing. We all were dumbstruck, seeing him cry loudly like that, like a small child. He was weeping loudly. Baba had given out some things like somebody would stab him in the back,
right,
and all these awful things that he mentioned in the thing. And so, yeah, all of us were a little shaken up by the thing. And Dr. Deshmukh was really very innocent person. Although he was so brilliant and bright, but he was like a child with Baba. Then Baba consoled him and said, "You shouldn't worry, it's all my work. Have no fear." And so he was consoled. So that was this meeting. And at the commencement, of course, Baba, I remember, it was all very slushy, you know. So Baba took out his chappals and on the main hall there, and barefoot came from there to the pandal. Yeah, I still remember that. And then before the commencement of the program, Baba wanted to wash hands, so he says, "Get some water." So Padri goes out to, and there was that pool of water that had collected. Picks that up and comes and Baba washes his hand. And he says, "Padri is Padri." So, yeah. And then some invocations of God's names were done. And then Baba, I think, asked each one of us to come and embrace him. And he stood standing, and Baba is embracing each one of us. I think there's a film footage.
Right, I say.
Yeah.
Near Baba's Hall might be the film that's all of this.
I see. Yeah.
I think that one. Yeah.
You'll see it's rather dark. The film is not very bright.
Okay.
It was because it was all very, still very cloudy, you know,
okay,
after the cloudburst.
Yeah.
Although there was no rains,
right,
but the skies were quite overcast still. So.
Was this only men at that gathering?
Yes, only men. So that was the time when we had this meeting, and I think after that Baba went back to Satara, and later Baba again called us for a meeting at Satara. So at Satara he gave out an explanation for this. I don't know what that is called or something.
Yeah, there's a final declaration, a final clarification.
Ah, some clarification.
There are like four, there are four things.
So before that happened, you know, Baba, after reaching Satara, decided to give up the use of the board. Sometime in October of 1954.
I'm sure of that, October something.
Yeah, 7th October or something. I'm not sure of the date. And Iraj tells us that Baba came that day very solemnly, he was there, he gave some last minute things on the board, says, "Now I will not use the board," and then he flung the board. And it landed there somewhere on one of the corners. So the corner broke and it was the zero of the board. So Baba says, "That's significant." Yeah. I wonder if they've preserved that board or not.
I wonder too.
Yeah.
If it's just a zero, but
yeah. So you find the zero at the corner here, this broke off. It landed on that. So Baba probably might be putting an end to Maya's depredations or something.
So right after the final declaration and this whole great meeting this way. Board.
Yeah, and after giving up the board, then Baba called this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the first meeting that we had with Baba at Satara,
mm-hmm,
and we were all called, and Baba was without board for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And we could feel the strain that Baba was undergoing, because it was quite new then. So every word had to be spelled out.
Yeah.
So it would start from A, B, C, D, and Baba would say this. So you, the crowd tried to help, you know.
Right.
So somebody would say something, some alphabet, say, Baba would just do this, and they would say, somebody would say A, B, C, and Baba would do this. So somebody would say C, or somebody would say B. So there would be so much confusion that somehow that meeting progressed. And everybody was feeling the strain. At least I felt very strained, and somehow Baba's made us concentrate quite a lot on that meeting.
Who is the official interpreter at this time?
It is.
Yeah. But Baba hadn't yet.
The gestures, yeah, were there. Most of them were there.
Wow.
But certain words had to be spelled out.
Yeah.
So, and certain times whole sentences you would want to give out.
Yeah.
So it was a big task to get through all this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember how very difficult it was. And it was, I think, that time when I think he had just finished dictating the God Speaks also.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a hurry to finish that before he gave up the board.
Right. Well, that would have been impossible.
Yeah.
So this meeting was where he gave out the clarification or the whatever, something else connected with.
I don't know which date it could be, but it was after this, so sometime. Well, you might get it in the glimpses.
Yeah, it must be, I'm sure.
So that time, another funny thing happened was that Behram Baba's brother, was doing this work of making Baba's photos, and they would be sent out by money to people. So he had brought a big bunch of a brand new discovery he had made. And it was Baba's picture taken during his school days. So he was a young boy then. And he was a part of a cricket team. And so there were two photos in which he had separated out Baba's photo from the group and had enlarged that. And it was just Baba in his school uniform, and there was that big group photo of the cricket team with their badges and all that. So Baba was very happy to see the photo, and then Baba remarked, after seeing his own photo, he says, at long last the search for the ideal boy has been rewarded.
Oh, well, that's when it happened.
Yeah. So we all looked askance, and then he says, see, here's the ideal boy. He turns the photo. So somebody piped in, well, Baba, then that's the end of your search for the ideal boy. So Baba immediately says, no, this is just a photograph. Yeah. So at that time also this search for the ideal boy used to go on, you know. Some boy would have to be brought sometime. Baba would have some work, send him off. So throughout Baba's lifetime, we've seen this almost till the second accident, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many of these things, I mean, they seem so pregnant with meaning.
Yeah, Baba's work with the children, Baba's work with the youth, every aspect had to be touched, you know. So much activity packed in, incredible way. Nobody can fathom it.
Does Tara have a big meeting hall or some sort of a pandal must have been put up in a compound or something?
No.
Where would you meet? How many were there had to be accommodated?
I don't know where exactly we had this meeting. It wasn't at Rosewood, or was it there? I don't remember. But it was a nice place, and all of us were fitted in. I think it was in Rosewood, and I'm not sure, but it was a big hall, and we were all seated there, probably Rosewood. Yeah. And this meeting was held. Ah, The other thing, after he did this final clarification, dictating by this method, you know, of asking people to spell out the words, and the final clarification was made that way, with great difficulty. No sooner it was over, we heard the sound of raindrops on the roof, patter, patter, patter. And Baba says, that's a good sign. So we've seen that rain always played some part in Baba's activities. So I remember that very clearly. It was a tin roof, and we had the sound of rain falling on the roof, just as Baba gave out the final clarification. And Baba was pleased.
Who read out the final clarification and the final declaration for that matter?
I'm not sure, probably Don King or Ayres or somebody else. It's all very hazy now in memory. And as I've been telling you all the while, when Baba would be there, our attention would be so much focused on him that these little points would always escape us. But little things would be in our memory, whatever Baba would point out to. Otherwise, everything would fade off. Baba was the center of our interest and our attention. His presence was so overpowering, especially on these occasions. Baba would be very radiant and bright, and you couldn't look away from him, as it were.
Even if someone else was reading out a message?
No, nobody would look there. All eyes would be on Baba,
How would Baba, when a message that Baba himself had dictated was being read out, I mean, he must have been listening intently also, I suppose.
He would listen and would nod his head or say, listen. If somebody would be found not paying proper attention, be attentive or some such thing. Baba would be very attentive of all this.
Now I heard that the final declaration messages had caused quite a tizzy in certain parts of India. That is, both Baba being stabbed in the back and 3/4 of the world destroyed, and all this is going to happen by such and such a date and so forth and so on. And this, among the people at these meetings, was that mood there, or was it? I mean, it must have been shocking to hear Baba say he was going to be killed.
Yeah, that was definitely a very stunning piece of declaration that he did there. But thereafter, of course, it all went off. But at the time, it was quite a stunning thing. So, shall we adjourn for some time?